You might not be aware, but Elon Musk is at war with Australia.
Really?
Yes, they declared war, and they launched ballistic missiles from SpaceX, and they've taken out Sydney.
Okay.
The Prime Minister of Australia has lashed out at X and Elon Musk for refusing to take down photos of the knife attacks that took place in Sydney recently.
Yes, I heard about those.
So in Australia, everybody who's on the interwebs and gets on X, they're blocking those photos, those videos and everything. But Australia's federal court has ruled in a hastily called hearing that, the photos and the videos had to be taken down worldwide.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, my response to that would be, you and what army? Thank you very much. No, go away.
I found it amazing. I'm going to try to see if I can find it. They basically, the audacity of Elon Musk to show these photos, and he's not. It's just, it's his the company. But the point is, there's no media lashing out saying the audacity of the Australian government to impose its will on the world.
Yeah, it's pretty comical. And these are it is important to, you know, all of the interesting changes at X/Twitter or whatever. This is one of the things that in the prior ownership, you know, as a public company, executives would have kowtowed to this sort of thing. And they did continually, you know. One little country gets mad and they take things down for the whole world because whatever. And I do remember, I don't know if this is the case anymore, but I do remember they had like regional blocking. So every now and then people would share screenshots around that, you know, oh, look, this tweet is blocked in Germany because it, you know, made somebody there mad or it had a certain kind of piracy on it that was illegal in that country. So they block it on a country by country basis. I'd tell Australia, okay, fine, we'll block it. But, just in Australia. And then when you complain that it's elsewhere, it's like, and? So?
Well, the ruling is so lame. Literally, any country can control the entire internet. And I found it interesting that Australia's e-safety commission.
Yeah, so it just sounds childish, honestly.
And so where is and where are parents monitoring what their children are doing? It's just real simple. I mean,
this is because of children, is their argument?
Well, I suspect if it's a nationwide block, I guess Australians have become overly pussified and are unable to handle things. I guess the thing is, how do they allow people to go into the military?
Well, there's all kinds of very interesting controversies with their military lately as well. People can't handle the things that people have done at war. It's like, well, yes, well, yeah.
But I mean,
not all warfare is handing out gummy bears to the children on the side of the road. You know, sometimes people do nasty things, and that's just the reality of it.
Well, censorship and propaganda have been around since the days of founding of our nation. Let's get blunt and real about it. Benjamin Franklin was a propagandist with his writings.
So, absolutely.
So too were all of those who wrote the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. What do you think those things were? They were propaganda.
Absolutely. I was reminded, let's see, earlier yesterday or so, something about, you know, the Tea Party and, you know, the revolt over taxes and everything. And I saw...
The Tea Party hijacked by Glenn Beck.
Well, I'm talking about the Boston Tea Party.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not the post-financial collapse grift by the, now that we have that word to use.
Yes.
It's become popular. It was nothing. It was something for a short while, and then it just very quickly just became a grift by certain political entities that we now know, not Glenn Beck, but others that, anyway, aside the point. The Tea Party thing reminded me, or I was reminded of the Tea Party because of the Boston Tea Party, that is, because there was a funny tweet I saw from one of big Libertarian Party X accounts.
Okay.
About basically crying that global gas prices are going up over the Ukraine conflict. And I was like, oh, yes. Oh, no. We'll revolt over some mild taxes. And that's kind of the bedrock of, you know, libertarianism, which is, you know, F the government, basically, and no more taxes. Meanwhile, tax for freedom is not worth it these days, apparently, according to the Libertarian Party. It's just so funny how these groups flip-flop on their ideals and their principles and stuff. And
well, the biggest flip-flop have been Republicans and Democrats. The two main parties have just completely flip-flopped.
Neither one of them stand for the origins of what they used to stand for. Now it's political convenience and other party bad under most circumstances, especially on the national politics level. Well, local is a little different.
Yeah, local is
on a national level. It's comical. I honestly don't even know why people pay attention to this stuff other than that it's the greatest show on earth, basically.
Well, apparently one of the things going back to Australia, I'll just kind of loop this together. There's a 16-year-old boy who has been charged with terrorism because he went to some type of a religious facility, and he stabbed a few people, killed one. And well, Father Isaac Royale, I guess it is, of the Assyrian, he's an Assyrian bishop, some church. Anyway, it was being live streamed, and he stabbed people and got them outside, whatever. So they're saying that he was motivated by the other stabbings, and so this is why Elon has to not do what they want him to. They want him to stop everything.
Well, they're stopping it because it's a Islamist attack against Christians, and they don't want anybody to get mad about it. I mean, that's the reality of it. Let's just put it plain as it is. You know, this is what countries all around the world, including the United States, have done since 9/11. When there is a religiously motivated attack against non-believers, what do? If it's Christian or any other religious group, Christian, Jewish, whatever, against another, then they're terrible. They're the worst. These people are terrible terrorists. Lock them up. Draw and quarter them. The public is allowed to get riled up and go crazy. If it's Islamic motivated against any of the other groups, then we're supposed to sweep it under the rug, ignore it, act like it didn't happen, and kowtow to it. And it's total BS. It does not achieve anything useful because it creates a double standard, and these people feel like they have the ability to do this or the right to do this. Now, you know, everybody can always whip out the, oh, well, it's not all, it's not this. We all know that, duh. Like, there's, what, a billion and a half, 2 billion people that subscribe to one of various sects of Islamic faith. Obviously, if all, then the whole world would be on fire for about, what, about 3 years? And then it'd be over. So that's, that. You know, we always have to make all of these PC statements to excuse away things. But instead, just, you know, it's the whole situation just continually is nonsense. We have to be super sensitive to these people, which, in my mind, instead of just calling it out for what it is, everybody acts sensitive about it, effectively proving their point that you are afraid of them and they were right to do it because they're going to get what they want. It's just dumb. Like, the whole thing makes absolutely no sense. And you know, oh, censorship on these things. They did the same thing when there was that attack at the Ghirardelli restaurant or cafe or someplace in Australia. This is probably 5 or 6 years ago now that I think about it. I can't remember exactly. There was some interesting stuff that came out of it. But anyway, I think it was like they had to send in, like special forces or something to super SWAT special forces or something. I can't remember. There's something unique about that incident. And they had to send some people in to eliminate this person. But they did the same thing back then. They got all hot and bothered that people had pictures and video and were sharing identities and were calling it an Islamic terrorist attack instead it's just a terrorist attack. And it's like if it's racially motivated in the U.S. and it's white against any other race, then it's going to immediately be called a racist terrorist attack, right?
Yeah. Well, if
I mean, in today's, that's anywhere in the world, really.
Right. Well, in the United States, in today's world, if it, they are now classifying those who are South American, Mexican, Puerto Rican, Haitian, if their the melanin in their skin is more white, they're white.
It's just less, but yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just less. I'm sorry. Yeah,
regardless, the point is.
But that is a fact.
Oh, it is. Yeah, the number of January 6 people that I've seen that, you know, they classify as you know, racist. And it's like, I'm sorry, guys. This guy looks very much Hispanic.
It's like calling Zelensky Hitler and Nazi.
Oh, yeah.
He's a Jew, folks, by the way. The president of Ukraine.
Well, anyway, the point is we just have all of these weird double standards that don't make any sense. And, you know, it's, I don't know. I mean, I guess it comes down to ultimately in people's lizard brains, who's actually more afraid of who, you know? I guess they're not afraid of the things that we've talked about that they're willing to out there rabidly persecute. But deep down in their brain, they are worried that, you know, more people could do something that I guess on some level was effective, even though it's disgusting.
Well, if you're new to our podcast, the Paul Truesdell podcast, Two Pauls in a Pod, one of the things that we do is we provide a lot of context, and everything is about business. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. What Paul and I have done over the years, another podcast we have, which we have moved into our private sector for clients only, is called Connecting Dots. And that's really what we're doing here today, is we're always in the process of connecting dots. Now, I'm going to connect Australia with Nashville, believe it or not. I'm going to connect Australia, Nashville, and I'm going to connect hip-hop and rap with all of this. So one of the things I want to do right now is I want to get a disclaimer out of the way because of the our business and what we do here. We're sponsored by Truesdell Wealth, a registered investment advisor. We'll be right back right after this.
You are listening to the Paul Truesdell Podcast, Two Pauls in a Pod. It's time for a coffee break and a seventh inning stretch. Due to our extensive holdings and our clients, you should assume that we have a position in all companies discussed and that a conflict of interest exists. By listening, reading, or using this document, video, podcast, and/or website in any manner, you understand the information presented is provided for informational purposes only and agree to our terms of use and privacy policy. Public and group informational items should never be considered professional advice. Nothing said, written, or otherwise communicated should be construed as an offer, recommendation, or solicitation to buy or sell a security.
Now, I promised before our little disclaimer that I was going to link Australia with Nashville. And this morning when I got up, I was reading and came across a couple of very interesting articles. At least they were to me. And here's the way it goes. There's a rapper by the name of Chris King. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's very popular. He used to be a roommate of another fella, Justin Bieber. When Justin and he lived, they were roommates. Didn't know that. And rapper Chris King was killed. He's 32. And let me give you just a little bit of the setup. It was a peaceful setting. Everything was copacetic. He and his other two homies were minding their own business in an alley. It reminds me of Better Call Saul, where they're rolling. Okay, yeah, you got that. Yeah. For those of you who have not seen the television show, Better Call Saul, please do it. Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. Lots of business. One of these days, I promise you, we will watch all 62 episodes of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. You can watch it with us. I've watched them now, I think, two times or three times each. And we'll go through and break down the business components of each segment. Okay, I promise you we'll do that. But he was shot and killed. One of his homies survived. But what was interesting about it, you know, they weren't doing anything wrong. It was all cool. Now, they identified one of the shooters, a teenager, okay? And the teenager, I looked him up, and they keep calling him a teenager and how he is, he was recently released or he should be charged as a teenager. He's 19, okay? So I kind of like 18, you're an adult, but because teen, 19, you're still a teenager. Okay. Interesting how it's applied. This guy is something else. So apparently the claim is by the Nashville Police Department is that it was a robbery that went bad. Having experience in that industry a long, long, long time ago, and anyone with any common sense, most people that do robberies don't just like go up and bang, 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 kill you. I mean, there's usually a reason. There's usually a reason. Somebody didn't pay for their meth, coke, or whatever. That's usually the case. So what happened is this 19-year-old, 2 years ago, was assisting another family member in the murder of a 50-year-old. And they shot and killed Josh Evans in Nashville. And they rolled him up in garbage bags, took him to the river, and sent him down. Okay. So he
doesn't sound premeditated at all.
No. And so
crime of passion, I'm sure.
But this is all family. Everything involving this thing, it's all family. Okay. Now, if we go back to Justin Bieber's buddy being killed, the kid has been found guilty, but he's been released and he's got one of those ankle monitors on. So they were able to catch him pretty easy because of that.
You know. Okay.
Okay, Roscoe's right there. They have to, Nashville Metropolitan Police Department, they have to get all the SWAT team and all the toys together, and they have to go and get this kid. I did a little research on the family as best I could, pulling up the various connections, which is not difficult.
Even not these days.
No. Because when the news actually reports names and you begin to kind of get an idea of the race and sex, and some of these organizations, they still publish booking photos and that sort of stuff. So I spent about 40 minutes digging around on this crap. This whole family is like, we called them the Gallon family down in Tampa from back in the 80s and 70s. It's just...
Okay, so they're just like a local problem, and they're all kind of in and out of various illicit industries, depending on what makes money.
Yeah.
And apparently this kid's MO is... he's good at murder.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's really scary is you there's, some documentaries and stuff, especially about some of the LA gangs in the 90s, because of various laws in different places about children and being able to be detained and things like that. And they would kind of, to link it back to what we were talking about earlier, kind of like some of these things you read about these Islamist terrorist groups in the Middle East in particular, they use children. You know, they brainwash them, kidnap them, whatever, train them to do certain things. And in the case of like some of these gangs, there's been a few high profile instances of using children for, hits on people or being drug mules and stuff like that. That's a lot more common because, in some states, at least it used to be the case. I don't know if it is anymore. Violent crimes by children, you couldn't charge for or sentence for certain time and all these various things. What is it? I think in Florida, it was like, even if you committed a capital crime and you were under 18, they had to let you out at 18 at one point.
The laws in the past were just, they're mind boggling.
But the point is that, these things existed as a way to kind of understand that, children doing these things, even if they were guilty of them, they probably didn't know or have a full grasp on understanding of what they were doing, typically.
And every time a law enforcement officer has to drop a kid in a shoot, don't shoot situation, you're automatically guilty until proven innocent. You're done.
It's just a terrible situation for everybody. But point is that these loopholes, let's call them, were then being used by, let's call them a little bit more sophisticated gangs to do things back in the day. It's crazy. But, that's expected. Like, loopholes exist. People will find them for any legal or illegal situation.
Well, my point to linking Australia with Nashville is to simply say, what is the cause and effect of these people? And I really do mean this. I have completely changed medical practitioners that I use because of COVID. I have eliminated 75% to 80% of people who are not clients, but what I would in the past tense call friends over COVID.
Sure.
Okay. It was mutual in many cases because I love this idea where they, and the big word they, whoever they are, they say science, science, everything's about science. And all of these woke, what's the name they give us, a female's name for all the, not Sally, but anyway, all the silly sasses out there, are just they can't accept reality. And in reality is just, let the facts lead you to a conclusion. Facts.
Yeah, well.
And it's just something I've been harping on and drum beating on. I mean, you have to accept people are different. But what are some of the links between the guy who committed the murder in Australia and the guy who committed a murder in Nashville and everybody else? Look, if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, there's a damn good possibility it's a duck. And ducks exist all across the world. My point being is that if you're honest about things, you start really connecting the dots. And I just you're not going to solve any problem by eliminating bad pictures and bad video on the internet.
No, absolutely not. All it does is just sweep the problem under the rug and make fewer people aware that there is a problem in the first place, which is the Australian government's MO.
Well, would you say, because you're very familiar with this, would you say Australia has turned into a real nanny state?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just like England?
Honestly, Australia's worse than England these days. I mean, some people may disagree with that, but the rapid turn in the past, I would say, 20 years compared to, you know, the Australia of like 30 years ago is not the Australia of today. I think a lot of it has to do with there's, just like the United States, there's a, it's not a huge country. It is a country of tons of baby boomers, lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of retirees with a lot of money, and politicians that, and they vote. Politicians that keep getting elected are, let's call it liberal, but at the same time conservative. And it's, honestly, it just seems like Australia is very much afraid of preserving the status quo.
That's funny. I just wrote that down. Status quo.
At the same time, it's got, you know, it's part of the, let's call it the, you know, it's part of the old British Empire. So it's a Commonwealth state. So there's a lot of legacy laws and weird stuff that apply there. It's very similar to Canada, honestly. Just the way you called it before, it's a nanny state. It's terrible. I mean, because Australia used to have this like really wacky,
Outback culture. Freedom type thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, very much a like mini United States with regard to their kind of just wacky personalities that were allowed to reign and crazy thing. I mean, and it is a crazy place.
Well, go back to the movies, Crocodile Dundee and all those kinds of things. It just fostered that Wild West, rugged, make your own way.
Yeah, and as you know, those people are still there. I mean, they don't go away. But the government is predominantly, you know, a couple, the country is predominantly a couple big cities, and, you know, big cities breed what they breed. They breed, you know, let's call it conservative liberalism, right?
That's a good word.
You want to preserve what you have and keep everybody safe at the same time, you know, everybody's free and everybody's the same and equal and, social policies and all these various things. So it's a toxic brew with when you compare it to their history, let's say. You know, same thing with Canada. I mean, Canada is the Wild West too. I mean, it used to be all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, I mean, what is it, in the 70s, the military had to go in and take over, the Quebec or something, because all the cops quit. It became anarchy in the streets. Like, everybody with a grudge was killing people they had grudges with.
And what was that movie?
Bob was obviously had a lot of influence there at the time. And so there's just all kinds of crazy stuff.
The Purge, wasn't it called?
Yeah, I mean, basically, yeah. I mean, it was basically the reality of the Purge, which is a few crazy things happen, but mostly people just kind of stick to their own and go, oh, crap, this might be bad. But still, you know, Canada, I mean, the reason they had to move their capital to what is Ottawa now is because the French kept burning it down. Like, go look on Wikipedia and go look at how many times the French capital building in particular is burned to the ground. It's funny. It happened a lot. It's like it's 5 or 6 times. So anyway, the point is just, you know, these places, I guess it's just a combination of like consolidation. I blame almost all of this on technology. It's just, it's made, it way easier for people to have this kind of homogenous culture, and it's erased a lot of the differences around the world between people. And now everybody is basically some weird form of American New York mentality. It's just gross.
Well, I was going to mention and tie this into 1973. I remember watching this on television very vividly. So a couple of years ago was the 50th anniversary of the Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King tennis match.
Okay.
And Bobby Riggs was a phenomenal tennis player, just dominated Wimbledon many times. He just did great back in the 30s.
Sure.
So there's a like 20 or more years, maybe 20 years age difference between them. I think she was 34 and he was 54. And women's tennis was beginning to come on, and you know, things were building. But yeah, Bobby was, he made some outrageous comments, even for back in the day, where, yeah, the only place a woman should be is in the bedroom or in the kitchen. And, you know, he just couldn't help himself. But he did it for promotion purposes. He was just seizing on the Archie Bunker. He was just making money. He was grifting. That's all he was. So if you get a chance, go to YouTube and just look at how everything, you just got to look at it. Because you remember some of these prize heavyweight championships where they come in with their entourage and crowns and all that stuff.
That's every fight now. Okay. Yes.
Well, here's the thing. Go back and watch this one.
Especially title fights now, yeah.
So I remember I'm with my mom and dad. We're watching this thing, and I remember my mother saying, oh, for the love of God, because here comes Billie Jean King. She's sitting on a throne being carried by the scantily clad, well-built young men who have, you know, the rails like the Egyptians on their shoulders, and they're carrying her in, right?
Okay.
Yeah, well, then Bobby comes in, and same thing with all the women, right? Yeah. And it's just, but it's technology, right? I mean, this is like ABC, wow, it's a big thing, blah, blah, blah. I remember my dad saying, hey, it's great theater. They found a way to make some money on television. But Battle of the Sexes is what it came out to. From there, everything developed into, not everything, but, you know, women's rights, yada, yada. It was just a perpetual pain in the rear end. Now, Bobby came close to beating her in the first set. It was 6-4, and then she won 6-3, 6-3.
Okay.
So she won, but she lost 4 sets. You know, I mean, she won, but a 34-year-old woman beat a 54-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I bring all that up because everybody is always talking that everybody's equal. Everybody, equal pay, equal job, and everything else. Okay, I thought I would look up a couple of things. I just had to look it up. I just had to look this up. It was just something I wanted to do. So, there are a grand total of 531,406 people who are working as plumbers or steam fitters in the United States. Okay. How do you like that?
Yeah. Sounds about right, based on the population.
And I guarantee you the 406 has changed a little bit since I said that.
Sure.
Of that, 98.3% are men, 1.74% are women. Now, if you look at the average wage...
Well, the reality is especially for plumbers, nobody wants to get covered in poo. But that's an unfortunate reality of that job, is that, you know?
Well, here's the thing. For the women who are doing the job, of the 1.74% of the plumbers that are women, guess what they make?
I don't know.
The exact same average salary as?
The men.
Bingo.
Well, yeah, I mean, the reality is...
So if you want equality in a workplace, become a plumber.
But the reality is most of these, just for simple math, right? Think about the kind of woman that is going to work as a plumber. Are they going to take sick days? Are they going to do the things that typically impact the loss in wage or loss in tenure that causes the loss in the wage difference or wage gap? No, of course not. You know, it's just... it's a good example because it very much shows you how equal the playing field really is if you put in the same tenure and effort and education and job skills. It's just
So one of the things, if you're listening to us for the first time and you're all upset and your underwear's in a bind, you don't get it. We're not racist, sexist. We're not pro this or pro that. We just follow the facts. And based upon facts, we do forecasting. That's how we manage money. That's how we manage the business, everything, business, the businesses. And so when you start adding everything together, we have a world that is getting ready to go on turbo fire. But we'll see what happens. We definitely know that the Russians, they're looking to have some real issues now that the United States House and Senate have finally gotten off their keister and doing something when it comes to supporting Ukraine. There are so many Republicans that we know who all they ever say is that the U.S. is supporting NATO lock, stock, and barrel, and that we've been bailing out Ukraine, which is, we're not going to get into that. We've talked about that extensively. I'll let you, Paul, pick up on that in just a minute. But one of the things I did in tying all this together, I wanted to find out, well, how many women are in combat positions in the U.S. Marine Corps? And there's 179.
Yeah.
So there's 231 women who are serving in combat positions. 52 are officers.
Yeah.
52 are officers. 179 are enlisted. That's just a crazy ratio that would not exist among the male population.
But also keep in mind that over the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years, there's been a huge PR push to try and get women into these roles. I mean, tons and tons and tons of marketing and opportunities have been created to try and...
Well, they've succeeded.
And try and equal the playing field as far as... equality with regard to this. And I would say that's just honestly pathetic because, I mean, the amount of money and effort that's gone into trying recruiting women into these roles is just...
But it has succeeded. And I'm going to give you the facts on this.
Such a waste of time, honestly.
Now, the military is... The number of people who are in the Marine Corps is down 2.7%. And this is 22-23 numbers. So we're down. And, of course, all the branches are having, you know...
Yeah, they all are struggling.
But when it comes to women, it's now 17.5% of all active duty Marines are women. And in the reserves, it's 21.6% of all reserves are women, up from 21.4%. Now, here's what is important. Of these women, less than 100 have successfully been able to go into what are called field combat positions. So of that 179 that are enlisted, they can't. They're not in field combat. 92 women are operating in actual combat positions, but the overwhelming are in administrative, non-combat positions. Total of 23 officers. But the point being is we got a lot of ladies who are in the military and being paid the same as a man because they don't discriminate on wages, but are not on the front lines. They have the opportunity.
Well,
I'm not being negative about it.
Okay, so this whole argument is just dumb because they focus on, oh, we have to get women to do combat jobs. It's like there's a multitude of reasons why that's a bad idea. We'll not go into them right now. It's not worth the time. But this is the same kind of dumb logic that people have when you think about it. Everybody in the military knows. It takes all kinds, and all jobs are important. You know, you may be mad that, oh, you know, most of a certain group of people are in logistics or whatever. Logistics is more important than the field combat roles. The supporting role in the military is just as important as the people who are carrying a rifle.
Yeah, every pilot's definitely going to tell you that. Those mechanics are critical.
Everybody's going to say that. Like, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you are a Marine Corps basic rifleman, right? Basic enlisted nobody. Where's your ammunition coming from? Where's your food coming from? Where's your water coming from? Who's telling you where to go, what to do at any point in time? You're not doing any of that. You're just being told what to do. So it's in my mind, it's extremely dumb to get worked up about specific overrepresentation in certain roles because it's really obvious when you think about it. We don't need to explain.
But my point
why
being,
certain people would be better geared towards certain roles.
But my point being is that the Biden administration is putting so much effort to get women in combat positions.
It started.
And the cost is insane.
It started under Obama, honestly. Like, his administration went crazy on this stuff. And, you know, I've talked to a bunch of people who have been in the military, and they create special courses for them, and they reduce the strenuousness of certain tests and things, and they create, they grade on a scale and all these things. And even with all of that nonsense, it's still substantially lower. So it's dumb, because it's like, oh, we're all equal, but also you get a special test. Like, what? That doesn't even make any sense.
And then at the same time,
it's just such a waste. This is a good example of these are the types of nonsensical things we get to engage in. We have the excesses of our government and economy and everything that we have. But once things tighten up, all of these superfluous nonsense arguments will go away real quick, because nobody's going to have the resources or time to deal with it. I mean, do you remember anybody talking about equality and all the, any social fairness stuff? The aftermath of the recession in 2008-09? No, that stuff went to the wayside really quick. And once everything got back, oh boy, now we're worried about stuff that doesn't matter.
Well, one of the things, just kind of tie this to the national political scene, you know, people are always wondering, how in the hell is Trump able to maintain the grip that he has on his supporters, his cult of personality? When you look at these kinds of things, well, no wonder Biden, for example, saying that men who identify as women cannot be discriminated against in women's sports. Now, let's go all the way back to what I said in Australia. You know, you can't discriminate on free speech. Okay, but Australia can, and they want to impose their will on the world. You have Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs, who brought to the attention there's a difference between men and women, but whatever, they had fun with it. And from there, then you just expand everything. For the life of me, I don't know how, and this is a really good one. A lady by the name of Angel Reese, she is now playing in the WNBA, Women's National Basketball Association.
Yep.
Which, I got to be honest, if you're going to be fair across the board, why don't they let men play in the Women's National Basketball Association? You know it's coming.
Make one mono organization, no matter.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that would just revert it back to the way it used to be, where the women didn't have any representation and...
Yeah, well, she went to LSU. She's now with the WNBA Chicago Sky. And she put a pretty substantial statement on X and, quote, protect young women in sports, 3 exclamation points. Now, she's not necessarily being anti-trans. That's the big thing. But under title, what is it, 9? Yeah, of the federal code, Biden went nuts on this thing. I guess my point is, every single day, if you have a business, here's a business idea. Maybe we should do this. We should every single day modify the current do and don't do book for society. And in other words, you get up, what can you say or do today that you couldn't do yesterday? I mean, it's gotten so complicated.
Well, but this goes back to the thing I've complained about is, the excesses of modern society have created all kinds of amazing stuff. But this is the problem we have with worker efficiency and all these things. Why does AI need to exist? Because people are distracted. Why are they distracted? Because they have to worry about how are they enforcing Title IX? Oh, what can I say about this or that? So, I mean, it goes back to an old joke I remember hearing, kind of what the libertarian crowd back 15 years ago about how, every day a person commits a certain number of crimes that they have no idea that they're even crimes, whether they're violations of weird federal code because you stepped in a swamp that was regulated, or you drove too fast under the the full moon on the second Thursday on a February or something. Like, there's just all kinds of nonsense, and the cognitive load that trying to remember and follow all these rules and taboos and what can you say and who's going to get offended by what is at a point gets overwhelming to people, and that's why you have the populist kind of movements among, you know, Americans that continues to roll. I mean, you know, it's why Trump has the substantial following he has. It's definitely a motivator, and the general sentiment is also why Biden is more populist than any Democrat in recent memory. Same reason. While he is doing these crazy things that a lot of people disagree with, his rhetoric and his tone is very populist, and you know, people wonder why that is. It's pretty clear. It's because people are just, the cognitive load of dealing with all these things is just too much. And again, I blame vast majority of this on technology. Everybody thinks that everybody has to be the same everywhere they are, all across the world. We all deserve the same things no matter what. And at the same time, we also have to know everything. Like this thing that you've talked about in Nashville. I don't care. Why do I even know about this? It does not matter to me. You know, what is it? As a normal citizen, 90% of the stuff that comes to my mind from any news or any of this stuff has zero effect on me. And if it has an effect on me, can I do anything about it? Most of it is a big fat no. It doesn't matter. You know, a good example, I follow a lot of this stuff because it's important in our business and it's important geopolitically and how all these dominoes fall or puzzle pieces fit into place. But, you know, in Russia, you know, everybody wants to talk about global warming. Is anybody talking about the fact that Russia is flooding like crazy? You have hundreds of thousands of homes been destroyed all across, basically because, let's call it graft, corruption, and bad infrastructure, the nexus of those problems has caused, you know, basically 100-year floods to flood entire towns.
What they call a dam is what...
Yeah, well, that's another thing. But seriously, the human toll is the same or more devastating than Katrina, United States.
Nobody's talking about it.
And basically nobody's talking about it.
At least not here.
And, you know, I think a lot of people are just like, basically, you know, F them cares. But it's an interesting thing. Nobody's talking about it. China is dealing with the same thing. Massive overflows on rivers. I have a whole bunch of stuff to read to see where it's at and what's going on. But they're having the same issue. Lots of winter snow melting around the same time. Meanwhile, what is it? Here it is... middle end of April, and we just had a nice cold spell day yesterday for no reason.
Yeah, it was beautiful, wasn't it?
So, you know,
last few days,
you know, the cycles are moving and different places of the world are getting different kinds of weather. And anyway,
Sahara used to be a very lush area at one time.
Oh yeah. So anyway, the point is there's tons of things that, you know about, they're interesting, you can talk about, that have more ramification than some of this stuff. But again, for the average, everyday, normal person, most of the stuff, all it does is make people more afraid. I mean, I remember seeing a study about this, like child kidnapping and all this stuff. And back, let's say in the 60s and 70s, you know, back when nobody had any ability to communicate and, you know, if you rode off with your friends as a kid and never came home, you know, nobody would really know what happened to you unless they found you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, child kidnapping was a lot more prevalent back then than it is now. Why? Because everybody's connected. Everybody has phones. Everything's such a nanny state now. You know, everybody coddles their kids. Nobody's allowed to go do anything, whatever. Despite the fact that you can pull up their phone and look on a map and see exactly where they're at. You can use, you know, the Find My on if you have Apple devices, and I'm sure there's equivalencies for Android stuff. You have instant communication globally. Like, statistically, well, duh, this stuff is way down because how can you even get away with it? But instead, people's fear of this and the prevalency of this in society, or at least their perception of it, is extremely high. They think it's rampant and crazy and, you know, everybody's out to kidnap their children or whatever. Meanwhile, it's less likely than ever, you know? It's a good example is, you know, people fear shark attacks. It's like, okay.
And they live in Iowa.
What is it? Yeah, I think you're more likely to get struck by lightning than get bit by a shark. But yet, you know, everybody goes in the ocean is like, you know, they're twitching a little bit because they think that, you know, shark might come along and get them. It's like, just pay attention. Like, is it a thing that happens? Yes. How many millions of people go to the beach every year? How many billions of people go to a beach somewhere? Come on, people. Like, you have to put things into perspective, and the media in particular constantly harasses people's minds who don't have the information or the mental capability or awareness to put things into perspective.
And so because people can't do it, we should lock down everybody from having information like Australia.
Well, but the point is, but what I was trying to wrap around, you know, with Australia, that's dumb because the media are the terrorist organizations.
Bingo.
When you really think about it. I mean, who creates more terror in people's minds? You know, an actual terrorist attack.
Or the
whatever.
Fear.
The drumbeat. But it's not just, you know, a terror attack like happened there where somebody got mad at a priest and a bishop or somebody in a church. Yeah, that's a thing that happened probably, you know, in the grand scheme of things, a fairly isolated incident. It's probably worth reporting on because it is an anomalous thing. But instead, what do? They report on the drumbeat of, you know, all kinds of other normal crime that happens continually when you have enough people in a society. And now everybody thinks that they're going to get, you know, shark attacked or kids are going to get kidnapped, you know, all these other various things. And, you know, whatever. It's just...
It's the corrupt nature of journalists. It goes back to the Woodward and Bernstein. Everybody's got to try to take everything and turn it into the next Watergate, the language, the flamboyance, the emotional, again, the drum beating. It's because they're
trying to keep attention. Because with technology, because everybody can access basically anything they want all the time, you have this... gamesmanship among the media on who can get attention on their stories. They have so much time in a day, so everything has to be reported extremely flamboyant, over the top, sensational nature, to the point that it scares people. I mean, you talk to normal people, like I said before, you know, they think if you go to the beach, you know, there's probably a 10% chance they're going to get eaten by a shark. You know, you know, they think if you go into the woods and go on a hike, you're going to get mauled by bears, despite the fact they don't realize, like in Florida, the bears are more afraid of you down here. Like those little black bears they're effectively like a scared dog. No.
At the same time, don't go put your arms open and try to hug
them. No, well, that's obvious, but you know what I mean? Like you're
really, that's obvious.
Well, I mean, it should be obvious.
Some of our tourists didn't go to Yellowstone that get mauled at. Oh,
well, oh yeah. Let's go hang out with the brown bears up in. Yeah. Okay. Good job. Yeah.
Somebody, well, by the way, there's a report. There was a lady in from Tokyo, literally Tokyo.
The buffalo stories are hilarious.
She got eaten by.
Oh God.
A bear took her off and yes.
Well, people go and they see the stampedes of buffalo or the pack, whatever the pack term for buffalo is, and they go and, you know, oh, we got all these buffalo here. Oh, let's go take a picture with them.
It's a herd,
but. I can't remember what it is. It's like they have bad eyesight or something.
Oh, yeah.
And they get spooked, and you get too close to them, and they have a panic attack, and then they all just stampede in one direction, and people get trampled all the time from that stuff. But anyway, the point is, you know, you have to put things into perspective. You know, do any of these individual incidents mean anything? No, they don't. If there's a lot of them, then it starts to matter. What's the response? Blah, blah, blah. But, you know... Turn this crap off at the end of the day. That's my suggestion. I mean, you know, it's important to stay informed about your local area, but getting a drumbeat of you know, terror media from cities around the country that you have no idea about that don't mean anything, especially internationally. I mean, what is it? How many people have never traveled internationally but are worried about, you know, oh, this thing happened in Copenhagen? Who cares?
Yeah, there are so many things out there that are completely, totally, unequivocally, beyond exclusion of every reasonable doubt, meaningless. People just can't seem to just ignore it. I mean, okay, that's fine, and just keep on going. They get emotionally involved in it, and I talk about this all the time, especially to prospective clients. Do not drain yourself emotionally on things that are not affecting you. It's just,
yeah, because
whatever,
all of this stuff affects you, and you know, as we talk about a lot, I mean, your energy is much better placed in bettering yourself and in your own situation than it is to worry about things that are completely outside of your own control.
Okay, so I'm going to do something real quick, and we're going to wrap up in just a minute. Son, I'm going to do a quick hard break. I'm going to do something I saw this morning. I needed to get gas. I went to Circle K, and I got gas. And I pulled in, and I think I was the only SUV or car of any type. All the pumps were filled. Quite literally, every pump had a truck.
Big truck.
Big truck, your size, and I think 90% were pulling trailers.
Sure.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Everybody's getting ready for the workday.
Yeah, and normally, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, one and all, I don't get in rush hour traffic. I just always schedule myself in such a way I never do it. But today I went in. It was basically a little bit before 8 or something like that. I got in. So I got gas. By the way, my God, I have to go to BJ's. Son, I dropped almost $70 in gas on my vehicle again. So it's definitely yes. Gone up.
Yep. Well, that's the libertarian complaint, right?
It's not a complaint, it's an observation.
Well, no, but
I got to go. I got to drive to BJ's and get gas.
But that's the libertarian complaint that I brought up earlier.
Oh, yeah.
We ought to talk about gas and oil prices and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because there are a few things to talk about. We'll do that next week.
I apologize to our regular listeners. We were going to do a thing called the Red Book, and I was going to order it. I didn't get around to doing it. We're going to do a Red Book and tell you all the things we're going to do. But here's what I observed. Now, this is what I'm going to do with Paul now is a real legitimate, we do this all day long, day in and day out. Let me tell you what my observations were. One, I don't normally get gas with lots of people, et cetera, et cetera. Every time in the past, and now Marion County, Ocala, is just booming. I mean, it is absolutely booming. The type of people that would get gas at that time of the day historically would be Hispanic, shorter guys speaking Spanish. Okay, it'd be like being in Laredo. I'm being honest. It's just the way it is. Today was totally different. Today, they were men between your age and my age, all of them, including the worker bee guys. And I was listening to some of their conversations, and it was amazingly highbrow. I'm not being mean or anything, but these were a whole bunch of white guys who were having sophisticated conversations, and they were they're construction guys.
Okay.
Okay.
So you hit a construction wave of...
I did.
Yeah.
And ladders and everything. Some of these guys look fairly clean. Others are just filthy, dirty. But it's just a whole bunch of white guys between 30 and 60 going to work. This was interesting. Now, this is not a racial thing, anything like that. It was the language and their vehicles were... I was impressed. Every vehicle is like $90,000 to $100,000. The point is, the guy who delivered our fencing yesterday with the other young fella, now he was Hispanic, okay, probably bilingual, very...
Definitely.
No doubt. Spoke very good English, but I loved his look on his face, his arms crossed, looking at the guy like he just wanted to kill him, right? So the guy driving the forklift, a little younger, whatever... And you brought up a conversation, and you can say what was said, but you can't hire young people who don't want to work today, okay?
Yeah.
So I've spent a lot of time on construction sites recently and looking at things. The number of people who are on construction sites, they're not kids.
No.
They're, again, Hispanic, overwhelmingly, doing the framing, the block work, et cetera, okay? But they're not young.
No.
So where are all the young people working?
They're not. No, I mean, this is a very serious cultural trend that you have going on right now where, in general, there's no demographic uniqueness. It's universal. It's a universal problem that people who are, I guess, younger than millennials, young millennials are younger, they want their cushy office job, want to be a TikTok influencer, want to, you know, do a get-rich-quick scheme. They are doing things that I guess in theory are somehow economically productive, but they're not out doing anything useful or seriously, you know, visibly productive. It's all just, I don't know. It's an odd turn of events. And you know, I made a comment to that guy that, you know, yeah, people aren't willing to do anything, and he said something about how, you know, it's just going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. I was like, yeah, well, for those of us who actually, you know, have some skills and understand how to do these various things, it just creates more opportunity for us because the cost of our labor is just going to keep skyrocketing and keep skyrocketing. He was like, yep, that's one way of looking at it because that's what's going to happen. And it's true though. Like people think that the cost of housing is bad now. It's going to go nowhere but get worse because, you know, the population is still growing and there's even fewer people that are willing to work.
We're going to wrap this.
The reality is construction is hard work.
We're going to wrap this up, and I want to simply say that I brought that up at the very end to round it all the way back to the very beginning of today's discussion about Australia. You know, you got to let people grow up. You got to let people be responsible, and a responsible government does that. Okay, we're going to wrap it up. We got people coming in the office today, and it's going to be a very busy day. My name is Paul Truesdell. Join me is the better part of me. It's
Paul the Younger.
Paul the Younger, Paul the Elder. This has been Two Pauls in a Podcast. Two Pauls in a Podcast. This has been the Paul Truesdell Podcast, Two Pauls in a Pod. With that, we're out of here. Take care. Later. Bye.
You have been listening to the Paul Truesdell Podcast. For additional items, serious to humorous, wisdom to occasional outrage, of various degrees, visit paultruesdell.com. That's paultruesdell.com.
Paul Grant Truesdell.
Roger that, dust off in five. On the floor, now!